Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to Jazz for the Asking. It's really nice to have you with us for another edition of Jazz for the Asking. We have a very special guest today. They're not a world-famous singer or a famous musician, but they are well-known around the world for playing this kind of music on a certain radio station. And we'll tell you about that a little later on in the show. But first, let's begin with John Zorin, who is absolutely talented. He takes jazz to a whole new level. Here he is with Little Bittern on Jazz for the Asking.
Thank you.
wonderful John Zorin with Little Bittern beginning today's show. We get a number of requests for Brazilian jazz, or more in particular, the influence of Brazilian music on jazz. One of the guys in the American jazz scene that brought the Brazilian rhythms to the music form is Stan Getz. We're now going to kill two birds with one stone, as they say. A request going out to Rashid in India, wanting to hear Stan Getz. And another listener in India who wants to hear João Gilberto. Oddly enough, the two emails came in at exactly the same time, which means we can play a track from a fabulous album released on Columbia in 1976 called Stan Getz, The Best of Two Worlds, featuring João Gilberto. The track we're going to take a listen to was composed by Cole Porter. It features vocalist Misha. Here's Just One of Those Things.
Just one of those things, just one of those crazy things, one of those bells that now and then rings. Just one of those things, it was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer rings. Just one of those things, if we heard a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd just been aware that our love affair was much too hard to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then, 'cause it was great fun, but it was just one of those things. Just one of those things, just one of those crazy things, one of those bells that now and then rings. Just one of those things, just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer rings. Just one of those things, if we heard a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd just been aware that our love affair was much too hard to cool down. Goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then, 'cause it was great fun, but it was just one of those things. Crazy things, one of those bells that now and then rings. Just one of those things, it was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon and gossamer rings. Just one of those things, if we heard a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, just being aware that our love affair was much too hard to cool down. Goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then, 'cause it was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Just one of those things, Stan Getz, from the album The Best of Two Worlds, featuring João Gilberto. One of the most famous jazz programs in the world aired for more than 40 years on The Voice of America. Now, for those of you who are a little young, you may have no idea what I'm talking about. The jazz tradition does continue today on the VOA, known as Jazz America. But we need to go back to the first program that aired for more than 40 years. Here's a little clip. Some of you will remember this voice.
Time for Jazz. Willis Conover in Washington, D.C. with the Voice of America Jazz Hour.
Well, if you didn't know that voice, that was the voice of Willis Conover, who for more than 40 years hosted the Jazz Hour daily on the Voice of America. The jazz tradition continues on the VOA. The show is now known as Jazz America, and is produced and presented by Russ Davis. Russ Davis is our special guest on this edition of Jazz for the Asking. But before we get to Russ, let's give you a little bit of background information on Willis Conover and the show that he presented for more than 40 years. We have this report from Wayne Bowman of The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America Jazz Hour.
With his deep baritone voice, Willis Conover brought jazz into the homes of listeners around the world, inspiring the next generation of stars. His daily hour-long jazz broadcast on The Voice of America was especially meaningful for those who tuned in from behind the Iron Curtain. Conover's Jazz Hour was, for many, the only exposure to music from the West. Alexei Kozlov is the founder of the popular Russian jazz ensemble Arsenal. As a university architecture student, he says, he was led by Conover into the world of jazz, inspiring him to learn to play the saxophone.
Despite the forbiddance of Voice of America programming in Soviet countries, we still listened to Voice of America, putting ourselves and our families in real danger. We learned everything from Conover. While there was propaganda against everything American, Conover was the one who made America to be appealing and desirable for everyone who listened.
Conover's Jazz Hour provided a platform for household names in the West, like Duke Ellington, Charlie Parker, and Count Basie, to be introduced to East European audiences. But for fledgling musicians, his show also provided an education in the art of jazz, helping them make the transition from passive listeners to active participants in the music. Viktor Fonerjof from Latvia is now a professional bass player in the United States. He was introduced to Conover's program while attending aviation college in Riga.
Every evening I tried to sneak into the only classroom that had a radio player. Everyone at home was asleep, so they didn't know I was gone. Otherwise, I would have been grounded for listening to the prohibited programming.
From 1955 until his death in 1996, Conover worked from his small studio in Washington. From here, under clouds of cigarette smoke, he projected his love of jazz to the world.
I could have never imagined in a million years that someday I'd been standing at the actual studio of Willis Conover, the legend, that I'd actually be in the studio from which Conover talked about jazz in his charming velvet voice.
FM Drucker is a producer at VOA. He worked in that very studio with Conover for 8 years. While still in Russia, Drucker became an avid listener of the Jazz Hour. After immigrating to the United States, he sought employment with the radio host he admired so much. Drucker says Conover devoted his life to the Jazz Hour. He says Conover and his staff worked long hours to ensure that the VOA audience heard music of the highest quality.
Он был очень педантичным в смысле качества.
It was very precise, detail-oriented. We didn't have CDs then, we had vinyl records, and so if there was even a small scratch of a sound, he asked me to cut them off. Sometimes I'd spend a full day cutting out the scratches. But it was worth it, the sound was impeccable. And that's how Conover's music was remembered in Russia, impeccable and magical.
Conover's attention to detail and his knack for explaining jazz to the masses may never be replicated. But in an interview near the end of his career, he He seemed to feel he had accomplished his own individual goals.
What I want to do is something that makes me feel that my life was worthwhile. And I think I will feel that way on my last day.
Jazz is now taught and performed around the world, and among those who are now the teachers of today's jazz stars are faces from the former Soviet Union. In achieving his own dream, Willis Conover helped others achieve theirs. For producers Elisa Krutovsky and Svetlana Prudovsky, Wayne Bowman, VOA News.
The jazz tradition, as I said earlier, has continued on the VOA, this time with the show Jazz America that airs on the weekends on shortwave, satellite, and on the internet. The show is produced out of New York by Russ Davis, who also acts as the host. I had a lengthy conversation with him. We now bring it to you now here on Jazz for the Asking.
Many, many years ago, there was an announcer who went on the air, and all he did was mutter the words, "This is Jazz on the Voice of America." That was followed by Duke Ellington's "Take the A-Train." Now, there's many of you right now who probably know who I'm talking about, and that is the legendary Voice of America broadcaster, Willis Conover, who continued doing that show until the mid-1990s when he passed away in the month of May around 1996. Well, the jazz tradition has continued on the VOA. The show now is called Jazz America. And joining us at his home studio, if I can say that, all the way in New York City, is Russ Davis. Hello, Russ.
Hello, Keith. And yes, you're correct. This is my home studio office, and I love working in my own space here. And if this were video, you'd see 7,000 CDs on a wall behind me. I still use a lot of CDs, and I love being surrounded by all of these things and having my own little studio. It's a new world, my friend. You and I have done broadcasting for a few years, and we now have to be our own engineers as well as our own presenters and programmers. So it's a great situation to be in. I really, really enjoy working in my own space here. But be aware that there's some construction going on next door. We may hear some rumbling.
Well, you know, it's kind of amazing when you think about it, because Willis Conover presented the jazz show on the VOA for many years. And for all that time, he was in a studio in Washington with a technician, a production assistant, probably a whole group of other people as well. And today, you know, we can do radio in the most simple of environments.
No doubt about it. In fact, I work with Voice of America as an independent contractor, as Willis did as well. He had a different situation. I'll tell you a funny story about that. But in addition to that, I do other programs for other people from time to time. I've done programs for Jazz FM in England and for Bay FM 78 in the Tokyo Bay Area and for other stations around the world. And also, I have my own online radio channel called Moja Radio, M-O-J-A, mojaradio.com for modern jazz. And so all of those things come from this one little spot, and I'm the only person involved in doing it. Now, with Willis, he had a very interesting situation. You know, he did his program for over 40 years, and he did it from that studio in Washington, D.C., in the VOA offices. Well, he was not an employee of the U.S. government. He was an independent contractor, but he was so powerful that he commandeered a studio space and got all of these people to help him and do his work with him. And one day an auditor walked in and said, "Who is this guy? He's not on our list." Somehow he was basically breaking the law by having that office, but he was such an influential and powerful figure that they just kind of overlooked the rules and let Willis go as he would. And that's the power of jazz, my friend.
Well, it certainly is. Now, when you started doing Jazz America, because of the history of jazz on the VOA and Willis Conover, was it going through the back of your mind, you know, did you ever think, how am I going to fill those shoes? How am I going to fill that void?
Keith, you better believe I thought about that, because as being a jazz radio presenter and programmer since 1978, and everyone in the industry knew Willis's name. Now, people inside the United States of America did not, because at that point there was no internet broadcasting. It was only terrestrial broadcasting. So by law and the charter of the VOA, it was illegal for people to broadcast VOA, reproduce them inside the USA. So nobody knew him, but we in the industry knew him. So I knew what a legendary figure he was. And when I heard that they had run out of playing his old programs and they were looking for a new presenter, a friend of mine who worked in Washington, D.C. and had a friend at VOA said, well, you should apply for this. And I said, well, you know, I know Willis Conover, and I knew he was a 100% straight ahead, in other words, very traditional jazz programmer and presenter. And I was involved and aware of and conversant with not only straight ahead traditional jazz, but I also leaned a lot in the work that I had done with contemporary jazz or modern jazz and even electric jazz, something I think that Willis would have turned his back on. And I didn't think they really wanted someone like me. So when I said, well, why not? You know, I have some international experience, and I work in New York, and I've worked in different markets, so why not? I'll just give it a shot. I discovered that John Stevenson, one of the heads of English Broadcasting, who was in charge of bringing on board a new jazz presenter, he was interested in someone who had that awareness and would modernize the style of jazz on VOA. And so because of that and my international experience, they brought me in. But it was a daunting task, because I knew that a lot of people who'd listened to Willis over the years were probably going to be expecting that purely traditional presentation, and that wasn't something I was going to present. So not sure I was going to be accepted, but luckily over the years now, and I've been doing this since 1999, I've had broad acceptance from both factions of the jazz fandom, if you will, those who will accept modern and even embrace modern jazz, and those who are traditionalists.
When you started the show, did you start the show in New York, or were you just going back and forth between Washington?
No, I've always done it from New York. I was also working with a satellite radio company based in Washington, D.C., so I was back and forth quite often between the two, but I always produced it, and that was part of the agreement. They did not want to have another situation where someone was going to be coming in using their facilities and their studio. So it was mandated that I had to have my own studio, and that was fine with me. I already had it in place. And Washington and New York City is where I produced the program 100% of the time.
This past weekend when I was tuning in, because Jazz Americas is heard here in Asia on medium wave, shortwave, and you can also pick it up on the internet. And the VOA being a powerhouse, what it is, the shortwave frequencies for the VOA are booming here. I mean, literally booming. And that's an understatement.
It was
an interesting show, because you were talking about the mixture of jazz and classical music.
Yes.
And that is something that your approach to Jazz America being so different, as much as I respect Willis Conover and I listened to his show for many years, your show really covers a broader spectrum of jazz. Because if you say jazz, you can't really narrow it into just one, you know, specific type, because there's so many types.
Yes, sir. You know that's right, Keith. And here's part of the reason for that. Willis was covering basically the big band era and the great singers, and he loved them deeply, in the standards, and how those standards pop songs of the day had been turned into jazz pieces, and those great big bands. I mean, come on, Duke Ellington, Take the A-Train was his theme song, and all those wonderful singers, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, etc. He started basically in that area, Louis Armstrong and the first recordings of the 30s, basically. And he went up to bebop and a little bit beyond. Okay, so we're talking about a spectrum of, in general, generally speaking, about four decades. for me, I'll play Louis Armstrong. I'll play Billie Holiday. I'll play Bessie Smith if I can find anything. I'll play the first recordings of jazz. But right next to it, I'll play something from 2010. So I'm talking about 80 years that I'm covering. Because jazz, like any other art form, has gone through an evolution and continues to evolve. So many jazz purists have, as and you laughed when I said this in the beginning, that I would actually have the audacity to play electric jazz. Many jazz purists don't believe that jazz can be made with electric instruments. Well, au contraire, mon frère, it can, because to me, part of the definition of jazz is that it is improvised music. And if it is improvised, then it can be played on an oud, it can be played on a harp, it can be played on an electric guitar, it can be played on an electric keyboard, just like it can be played on a saxophone, a trumpet, a clarinet, an acoustic piano, or any other acoustic instrument. So the fact that that is true, and that it is a wonderful American-born art form of international elements, but now the international jazz and improvised music scene is so alive, and we have the ability to share our different styles with one another from all over the world. Well, it's one of the most exciting times in jazz history, so why in the world would I limit the scope of what I would be playing? I have so much to choose from, not only the eight decades, but also the many styles from literally all over the world.
We'll be right back.
the Chick Corea Electric Band with Electric City here on Jazz for the Asking. If you wish to get in touch with us, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's pcjmedia@gmail.com. You can also listen to past editions of the show by going to the website for PCJ, which is very simply www.pcjmedia.com. We now continue with our conversation with Russ Davis, host of Jazz America on The Voice of America.
Have you heard before, and this is something that I've heard from quite a few people, of quite a few people have said, you know, who are not, they don't like the music, have said, you know, oh, jazz is for old people, and it's an old form of music. And I actually, for myself, I have to completely disagree. I've been to so many jazz festivals. The most recent one was actually one in Tokyo, Japan, and found the audience was predominantly under 30 years old.
Yeah. Well, I will go to my grave arguing with people that jazz is not, quote unquote, old folks music. And I think I know why people say that, because quite often when they think about jazz or read about jazz, they're reading the comments of a writer or a critic who is remembering the quote-unquote glory days of jazz when the giants walked the earth. John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, etc., etc. Well, those people certainly were giants, but they're just not, those writers are not keeping up with the current trends, partly because, well, a few factors, I suppose. Those same critics are the people that are still in power. They're still most widely read in the most influential jazz publications or websites, etc. And they won't give up their place, and they have no reason to give up their place as very important and prominent writers or critics. They have every right to continue to say what they say. But when folks say it's old folks' music, they're not looking hard enough. Because people like me, and I have a feeling people like you, and many more open presenters, programmers, writers, and critics are reflecting the new things that are happening. That's a big part of what I do on my channel, Moja Radio. To me, it is covering what I call the middle ground between traditional, mostly acoustic, swing and jazz, that old folks music, as you say, and smooth jazz or contemporary jazz, which is more of an easy listening sort of style. In the middle, and that's where jazz fusion and all of the electric forms of jazz, funky jazz, world jazz, acid jazz, techno jazz, all those forms in the middle ground, that's what I'm covering, and that's what a lot of people, I'm afraid, have overlooked. So those young folks that you saw in Tokyo, and the ones that go to that great festival in Jakarta every year. I've heard there's a fantastic festival there. And festivals really all over the world. They're going and they're hearing all of this wonderful new jazz. And I know with your background, Keith, in Europe, you know how they have embraced electric jazz. There's incredible music coming from Scandinavia. The band Jaga Jazzist is fantastic. Esbjørn Svensson Group from Sweden, rest his soul, he was fantastic. He played it in an all-acoustic setting, acoustic piano, bass, and drums, but he embraced new rhythms and new styles and new ways of looking at and creating improvised music. He was not playing the music of Bud Powell, swinging on the ones and the threes. He was doing some backbeat, and he was coming up with some new rhythms. Those are the sort of things that I'm looking for to project and to exhibit what jazz is today. And believe me, if anybody thinks it's old folks music, they're just not looking closely enough.
You know, not too long ago on the show, I played an artist who, when I mentioned the name, people would not think of her as a jazz singer, a jazz vocalist. And that is Anne Frieda Langstrad, who was one of the vocalists in ABBA. And before she joined ABBA in 1970, she was singing traditional jazz in Stockholm. And there's a number of recordings of her that have now been issued on CD. And you listen to that stuff, and then you listen to, say, ABBA, and you can hear her jazz styling in ABBA songs.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you bring up there, because I think a lot of vocalists were, especially female vocalists, it seems to me, though there are a lot of male vocalists too that are in essence carrying on the tradition by learning what those that came before them did, the ground that they broke. But a lot of female vocalists especially, in fact, I just met a young soul singer named Ife here in New York recently, and I said, you know, there's a lot of jazz sensibility, the same thing you just alluded to in the singer from ABBA, Keith. There's a lot of jazz sensibility in your music. And by that, I mean a blues sensibility and a soulfulness and a spiritual sort of presentation that comes from the blues. And of course, blues is the wellspring from which jazz sprang and was born. Blues came first, then came the jazz. So I think quite often that is what happens. And I asked her about that, and I said, now, would you ever consider doing more jazz and bringing in more jazz elements into your soul music presentation? She said, yes, I want to go back and I want to study the masters, Ella and Sarah and Billie Holiday, et cetera. And I'd like to do some standards. Well, that's how they practice. That's how they learn the craft to a certain extent. And I think that's what the lady from ABBA was doing. She was kind of learning the craft and tapping into that bluesy, jazzy, soulful sensibility from which jazz vocalizing comes.
Let me mention some names. And I'd like to find out from you what would come to mind. If I say John Zorin.
Freedom. I would say John Zorn is a wonderful blending of his Jewish roots and modern jazz. I saw him performing in Montreal at the Montreal Jazz Festival, and it was the Masada Project. He's written 300 songs in this vein of blending his Jewish culture and sensibilities with his modern approach, with a huge band of electric and acoustic instruments and all kinds of devices and laptops, and it was pure freedom. So I guess you wanted a word association there, but I gave you more. I'm sorry. I'll try to cut it down to a word association response.
Well, here's another one. Dave Brubeck.
Sophisticated. Even though many, okay, you want just word association, or you want me to go into
it? You can go into it. I want you to.
he's a sophisticated gentleman. He is just one of the great life forces I've ever been in contact with. I had a chance to interview him last year in Detroit when he performed there, and his sons were playing as well, and I had a chance to speak with them. And they also have that gleam in their eye. They are so alive, and they are so happy to be doing what they're doing, honestly happy. Some people are just doing it because they have no choice. I'm just making music because that's all I know how to do. These guys were doing it because they loved it. They loved their father, and he sat and spoke with me for 30 minutes, and I'd only met him once before, but we sat down, and it was like I was talking to my best old friend. He was so warm and wonderful, and he is just such a gentleman, such an artist. He broke new ground. He took the flack from many purists who didn't think that what he was doing, incorporating world music ideas and different rhythms and a different approach and a lighter approach, if you will, not the hard-driving bebop of everybody else. He was coming up with a new style that was totally reflective of himself and his great band, Paul Desmond. And what a gentleman, and what a sophisticated style of music Dave Brubeck has created. And happy birthday to him on December the 6th. He's 90 years old and still going strong.
Well, let's go back a little further now. Fletcher Henderson.
Fletcher Henderson is one of those band leaders who I don't know a lot about him as a person. I can't quote chapter and verse on his entire life. I'm not even sure where he's from, but and that quite often does have an important factor, is an important factor in the kind of music you make. If you're from the southern United States, you could maybe be more of a bluesy or New Orleans traditional style player, and if you're from Chicago or Detroit or New York, you're probably going to be a little bit more hard-edged and more into a bebop sort of sensibility. But he was a big band guy, and he, of course, was the person who helped bring a lot of great players and a lot of great singers to prominence, and just a terrific band leader, and from all accounts, a real character. I can't say much more than that.
You know, it amazes me sometimes when, let's say you have 20th century composers that really changed a lot of music, let's say like John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Way back in the late 1960s, Count Basie recorded an album for Verve called Basie's Beetle Bag, where he's doing jazz arrangements of very popular songs by Lennon and McCartney. And it's amazing. In some ways, when I listen to it now, it's almost as if Lennon and McCartney, when they wrote those songs, they had the idea of jazz arrangements in mind. I mean, even Ella Fitzgerald did a swing version of Can't Buy My Love.
Oh, yeah. And George Benson did The Other Side of Abbey Road. And mm-hmm. And I think that he caught a lot of flack for that, too. but after folks like Ella Fitzgerald and Count Basie had created those works, I think it should have been no question involved here. It should have been just fine. I think that we probably, as far as Lennon and McCartney are concerned, I think we probably have to attribute a little bit of the sophistication of those songs and the way they were originally recorded and presented and arranged to George Martin, the producer. He had a lot to do with bringing sophistication to their music. He's the one that brought in the string quartets and the horn sections for their songs. And, of course, when we're talking about those sorts of arrangements and instrumentation, we're talking about opening it up for many, many other possibilities, including turning those songs into jazz pieces. But it's obviously a tradition that's gone on for over a century now mm-hmm. of jazz mm-hmm. taking the pop music of the day and turning it into improvised arrangements and improvised songs. So that's what it's all about. And it's a great vehicle for a player to take a song that everybody knows and you just tell the audience and the listener, I'm going to take this tune you know and just wait till you hear it when it's done and tell me it's not jazz. I love it. It's something that has been done forever and hopefully and I'm sure will be done forever.
And that is Russ Davis, host of Jazz America on the VOA. Coming up in the second hour of Jazz for the Asking, we're going to continue our conversation with Russ and bring you some more fabulous music. Once again, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. You can also contact us via the website of PCJ by going to www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. To close off the first hour of Jazz for the Asking, we're going to take a listen to the wonderful Ella Fitzgerald, singing a very well-known song, but it's not a jazz standard. It was originally a hit for the Beatles. It's called Can't Buy Me Love. Here's Ella Fitzgerald.
Can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. For I don't care too much for money can't buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got I'll give to you. For money can't buy me love, can't buy me love. Just can't buy.